Well, happy Father's Day. It's a great privilege, quite a responsibility to be a father. And I have something that advances this. I saw this the other day and I loved it. Signs of a wealthy man. A wealthy man. He has holdings, right? He has net worth and so forth. You get the idea. Isn't that cool? That is somebody who understands what's really important. I got a note this morning, not this morning, last week, sometime from a young man named David. He's in prison. And he wrote and wished me Happy Father's Day. There's a certain system that we can correspond back and forth. It's a wonderful system called JPay. You have to pay something for it, but we can send emails back and forth. They are monitored, of course, at the prison, but still we write back and forth. He wrote, in part, I just did a copy-paste. I better turn this thing on, too. Father's Day used to bring me down, but since I became a Christian, I now have a father to be grateful for. And we fathers, just a little plug here, we fathers, especially those of us who don't have anybody at home, or let's say we don't have children, can become a father to the fatherless. David is a guy that has literally no relatives, no family. He was adopted. His mother gave him away when he was a baby. She gave him to a Mexican lady in Los Angeles who raised him until she was 12, and she died of cancer. And after that, he was on the streets. I'm not sure he knows his father's name. And so one thing Linda and I have talked about is how can we be family to this fellow when he gets out? He has nowhere to go. Well, we're going to be talking about the path to maturity. In other words, how do we grow? What helps us not only to get to know the Lord, but to grow just as physically we're expected to grow up, change, be strong, be contributing members of society. How can we do that in a spiritual sense? And I'm going to be reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. I've left out a few of the clauses in it, a few words just to make it a little bit more brief, but I'd like to read this. It was he, talking about Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I was with a group of men yesterday in a prison. We were talking about how to do chapter analysis Bible study. In other words, you take a chapter of the Bible and you go into it in real depth, you read it a bunch of times. One of the methods we used as we started this out was we looked for repeating words. Because if there's a word in a chapter that is seen several times, that's a good clue that that's what the chapter is about. And we see repeated words here in this short passage. Be built up, become mature, attain to the fullness of Christ, grow up. Grow and build itself in love. That is God's goal for the church. In other words, that we will no longer be infants. Or putting it in other words, we want to go from this to this. Mature men, mature women, who can use the word, who have impact on their life, on the world around them. And we don't want to get stuck here, where we can be absolutely adorable, and people love to hug us, and yet we aren't able to help out with VBS, or if there's a marriage crisis going on in the church, he's not called upon to help out. He's not going to be our prayer warrior. He's not going to be the teacher in Sunday school. How do we grow up? What is spiritual maturity? First of all, what is not spiritual maturity? It's not just saying nice-sounding prayers. I remember when I became a believer, I was in college, and I was learning how to pray out loud with a group of guys. And maybe you know the feeling, you don't want to say anything stupid. And I'm not sure how many of my prayers actually made it to God at that time in my life. It's not simply knowing the scriptures. I remember talking to a young man years ago who had served in the Soviet army, in the Russian army, back in the 1980s when it was still communist. He told me how he was invited in to speak to an officer. He was a young recruit, he had to serve in the army, but he came in and talked with this officer who wanted to talk to him about the Bible. And this officer had a Bible with lots of underlining in it. I'm sure some of you do the same. Things written in it, highlighted stuff. The job of this officer was to convince this young recruit that the Bible was not true. And this man really knew the Bible. It's not just showing up for church. Abraham Lincoln is credited for saying, if all the people who fell asleep in church on Sunday morning were laid out end to end, they would be a great deal more comfortable. So spiritual maturity is not just showing up. It's not being a believer for a long time. In other words, we don't automatically become mature. I sometimes tease guys, young guys in prison, and speaking of guys who really need to grow up, I'd say, you know, you're only young once, but you can be immature your whole life. That's true. The writer to the Hebrews rebuked them a bit. He said that though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And what is implied in this verse is that as we mature, we become teachers. In other words, sooner or later, we should all be teachers. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have to teach a Sunday school class or come up here. But we can teach around the dinner table. We can teach as we interact with somebody else and share wisdom. Just last night, we were over at some neighbors. They were having some great big shindig and invited us over for some of the smoked ham. And a young man walked up to Linda and just started talking with her. I never saw this guy before, and I think she was wondering, who is this guy? And then it came to her, they had met at the laundromat, 2 years or more ago, when we were still living in this camping trailer and couldn't do our own laundry. And Linda had struck up a conversation with this guy and got into some nutrition topics because she realized he had some bad habits. And this guy came up to say that he took her advice. It's changed her life. From one chance little conversation, she gave some teaching, just about a general truth, and he took her advice. One Christian writer says there is an important sense in which every Christian must be a teacher because we can all help disciple others. We really only master something after we have effectively taught it to someone else. Teaching is the final step of learning. Isn't that a cool phrase? Teaching is the final step of learning. Or Jesus put it this way, therefore every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven, and by the way, I think he's talking about the scribes in particular. You've heard of the scribes and the Pharisees. And the scribes were teachers of the law, but apparently Jesus is referring to people who were not only scribes, but now they were learning from Jesus himself. They were learning about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, this person who can teach, not only from the law, but the truth of God's kingdom, the truth of Jesus, is like the owner of a house who brings out from his storeroom new treasures as well as old. I think the picture is like this. If some of you came to our house for dinner, maybe after dinner, I would go back into this back room and I'd come out with some gold chalice to show you. Or maybe some very intricately made carving. Not simply to dazzle you, but that we could appreciate the beauty and the workmanship of these items. But also we could pull out maybe a new lesson they were learning from God, something we had just read, or pulling out something old, some old lesson, something that we studied, heard years ago, and now we can present it as a way to encourage people. So, what is this path towards spiritual maturity? How do we walk on this path? And I'm going to present three things. Believe, grow, and serve. Believe, grow, and serve. I think there is one more place along this path, but I'm not going to get into it today. If I'm ever allowed up here again, maybe I'll talk about that. Believe is like come and see. You know that in John 1, John the Baptist is walking along with two of his disciples, and he looks over and he sees Jesus, and he says to his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God. And so these two men go to Jesus, and they say, Rabbi, or teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus says, well, come and see. So a person who's in this part of our path, this part of our journey, I'd call a true seeker. He's at the front end. He responds to Jesus' invitation to get to know him, searching the scriptures and learning from others who have come to faith. I was there a number of years ago when I was a student. It was a time of real struggle. It took me months before I decided, yes, this is true, but at least I wanted to know. This person experiences spiritual rebirth, agreeing that Jesus died for our sins and gives us new life. And he's learning to say yes to believing, no to saving self. In other words, I was trying to save myself. I was trying to solve my own problems, make my own future. Whatever went wrong, it was on me instead of giving it to God. And I imagine, speaking to a larger group like this, there's some of us here, some of us still at the door. And I'd urge you to be a genuine seeker of God, a seeker of truth. Look in the scriptures, find out what it says, talk to people. That's the first step. Secondly, grow. Or it's answering that call of Jesus, follow me. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Crave spiritual milk. Crave that which is nutrition for us, which will feed us, which will cause growth. Later on, Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow. So a young believer begins to develop a new lifestyle, learning to please God and do things that promote spiritual growth. He starts practicing the disciplines of the Christian life, reading and studying the Bible, time with other believers, praying, sharing his faith in order to transform his worldview and more deeply submit to God. And there are disciplines, things that, to be honest, I'd rather not do. I get up in the morning and I should get into the scriptures and spend some time with the Lord, but there's a million other things waiting for me to do. So the question is, will I do these things? Will I spend time with God? Will I spend time with God's people? So a young believer is learning to say yes to growing and no to staying the same. There's a church sign that said, there is no growth without change. And how true, that if I'm the same at the end of this year as I was at the beginning, if I haven't changed, I haven't grown. And lastly, serve. That's where Jesus says, become like me, because he is the ultimate servant. Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully taught, will be like his teacher. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Apostle Paul refers back to a time when Moses was going in to the tent to meet with God. Remember that in Exodus? And this encounter with God was apparently so awesome that he would come out of the tent glowing. His face was radiant. And so Paul explains that Moses would put a veil over his face so people wouldn't see that radiance fading. And then when Moses went back into the tent to meet with God, he'd take the veil off. And Paul says that, and we all with unveiled face, nothing blocking our vision, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful verse? We're being changed from one degree of glory to another. But it's as we behold the Lord. So become like me. In other words, when we are a disciple, a confirmed follower of the Lord, means we're learning to prioritize activities, not allowing things or self to replace a growing devotion to Christ. Means this disciple deepens his love, seeks the best for all people, using his gifts and abilities to minister to others. So he's learning to say yes to serving and no to distractions. So, just in summary, as we move towards maturity, we are learning to say yes to believing and no to saving self. We're learning to say yes to growing, no to staying the same. Yes to serving, no to distractions. It says again in Ephesians 4, from him the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So without question, it is work. It takes a lot. Growing our sons, in a sense, wasn't too difficult. Linda just put tons of food in front of them, and we'd take them out and exercise them, and we'd try to teach them along the way, but there's a lot of joy involved. But it is work, and this is definitely work. But as Nike will tell us, there is no finish line. It's something that we can continue to do. I titled this the path towards maturity, because in a sense we never get there. Until I breathe my last breath, I don't think I will be there. I'm 1 year away from retirement. I remember talking to an older friend. He's now 85, 86, Dave Johnson. And I asked him one time, Dave, you don't have retirement in your vocabulary, do you? And no, he doesn't. Because at that age, he is still ministering to others. He's still progressing in his maturity. And it's only when he breathes that last breath that he'll be fully mature in the Lord. That's where I want us to be. Let me encourage you to be on that path, to believe, to grow, to serve. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we read in your word that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. And I pray for each person in this room, for myself, that we would be diligent to walk on that path, that we would invest time, effort, that we would erase, get rid of all those things that would distract us or slow us down. Thank you that you are willing to illuminate that path, as Proverbs says, that you will shine that light so we know how to proceed, and we pray that you do that for us daily. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.